What's going on, everyone? Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Gamecast. I am one of your hosts, Kenny, and with me is Tess.
Hello, everyone.
And this week we have some interesting topics to talk about. Mainly one topic that kind of branches off into other spaces. But before we get to that, just a little bit about this week. I had to cancel my Crunchyroll account. Because for whatever reason, they wouldn't allow me to. So I got on Crunchyroll and I was paying for the subscription. And I was doing this thing where, like, I juggle apps. So I would have a subscription for a month, cancel, then subscribe somewhere else and kind of go back and forth. And what happened was there was a, I want to say there was a deal going on with Crunchyroll where if you subscribed at a certain time, you got like this, like a free month extra. So I got more time. I think it was because I had a Samsung phone. So it was something along those lines. And it was cool. Unfortunately, when the free month ended, I was switching over because I was subscribing to HBO and I wanted to go back. So I went back and my account kept saying that I had the premium service or the subscription, but I didn't. And so it wouldn't allow me to actually subscribe. And so what happened was I contacted, you know, customer support and I was like, look, I'm trying to subscribe to you guys so I can like get rid of these commercials and so I can have Stimucast. So an hour from, which is basically like, you know, after anime airs in Japan, an hour from now, it'll be on Crunchyroll. And they were like, oh, you know, our problem. We'll send you, what they did was they sent me a link that allowed me to bypass the free subscriptions or like if you got like a gift card or something like that and just to go directly to subscribe, and they gave me a free week. I was like, all right, cool, you know, I got a free week out of it and I'll just be able to subscribe once the week is over. Try to subscribe and it wouldn't let me. So I contacted them again and the same thing happened. They gave me a month, a free month this time, and it was like, try this link instead. Didn't work. And so I contacted them and it took a while for them to get back to me, and they were like, hey, why don't you try another payment like option? I think I was using PayPal at the time. Unfortunately, because it's stuck thinking that I have premium when I don't, it won't let me change my method of payment because it's saying that you can't delete PayPal if that's the way you're subscribed, which makes sense. You have to unsubscribe first before you can, you know what I mean? Because if not, they won't be able to get their money. But I'm not actually subscribed. Like, I don't have premium. And so it wouldn't let me delete the PayPal. It wouldn't let me add a different payment arrangement. And it wouldn't let me subscribe through PayPal. I was basically in this loop of not having access, even though the computer or whatever on their end was saying that I had access. And so finally they were like, you know what? You just need to cancel your account. And I was like, okay, but... Oh, no, they didn't say that. They said you need to make a new account. And I was like, but I don't want my PayPal attached to that old account, though. Like, what if someone gets it working all of a sudden? I don't want to be charged double, like, you know, or whatever. And so I just went through the forums, and apparently this was happening to a bunch of people off and on. And so I just canceled the account completely, and I'll have to make a new account. Now, the question comes up, why would I want to make a new account if I'm having this experience? Well, outside of the fact that I typically like Crunchyroll, they have original anime that I want to watch that you can't watch anywhere else. Similar to, like, you know, Netflix has their originals, HBO, you know, that sort of thing. And I don't want to watch, I've gotten accustomed to not, you know, watching, you know, with commercials. And because the commercials online are horrible. Like, they just are with the apps and stuff. You'll see the same commercial multiple times, back to back to back. Sometimes it gets stuck on the commercial, so like you actually have to exit the app and come back and then watch it again. Like, just a lot of craziness. And I feel away. I almost went to Funimation. If you have the Xbox Game Pass, there's a perk on there that you can give you 2 free months of Funimation right now. And so I almost went there because I'm like, I'm missing One Piece, I'm missing my shows. And I was like, but dang, there's a really cool God of the High School and a couple other shows that are original to Crunchyroll that I want to see. So I'm kind of like, why you gotta do this to me? This is COVID season, Coco season. We're streaming like crazy. This is not the time to break. This it's not. Like, they need to get it together. So,
Yeah, because nobody wants you to have to go to Funimation. I just, their
right?
Funimation app is trash. Like, Funimation has great shows, but the app is trash.
Super trash. Like, and that's saying something considering I had this experience with Crunchyroll.
Right.
So, that has been me struggling to watch things has been kind of my week, unfortunately. There's been some interesting news, regardless of where you align with in terms of politics. We're not going to go there for too long, but I just wanted to bring this up, because this was just actually really revealed not too long ago. But
Like earlier
45 has COVID, which is like super ironic.
It's ironic, and I just had to say this. Look, somebody at work was like, "Hey, the president and the first lady have COVID," and I was like, "Oh, so this proves that Melania was stepping out." Like, they were like, "How'd they get it?" And I was like, "Well, clearly, one of them."
Dude, well, they got it by being extremely foolish.
Yeah,
But that, I mean,
45 never wears a mask.
exactly. And I wouldn't be surprised if she stepped sideways, 'cause
Yeah,
it's him. So,
it's him.
right. But it's not to say that I was conflicted hearing the information. Because on one side, there's, you should love your neighbor, you should love, forgive your enemies, love your enemies, that sort of thing. And then on the other side is like Psalms 109, like, these evil people have been doing A, B, and C, God, please strike them down, that sort of thing. I'm paraphrasing. And then there's also the side of like, you know what? This is you did this to yourself. Like, you know what I mean? So I was conflicted, but I wasn't upset at anyone who had jokes, who was pointing out the irony, who was, talking about how sad it is, and the fact that he's been around having all these rallies and just in people's faces and all this other stuff, and potentially spreading this, or the people who are like, you know what? He lies so freaking much that he could be lying about it, that it could be some type of ploy to get some type of sympathy vote or whatever the case may be. I don't.
Yeah, how would we know? We don't know anything. How would we know? They were saying, oh, he gets tested every day. Does he? Does he not?
I
Is he
doubt
the
it.
reason why? Like, do you think that he's putting that thing up his nose every day? He hates that thing. He already said it. So it's like, you think that he's going through that on a daily basis? Like, that thing going up your nose is extremely uncomfortable. And I'm only saying this because I've had it done before, but not for COVID testing, for other testing. And it doesn't feel great. It feels horrid. So this is a guy who complains about everything. Like, you think that he's really doing this? Like, do you think he gets his yearly colonoscopies after being as old as he is? He doesn't care about that kind of stuff. So, and he doesn't wear a mask, rarely ever. Like, he holds rallies where other people have gotten sick from attending his rallies.
Right. And it's still like it's a hoax or whatever. And it's like, it doesn't seem like a hoax right now, does it? Yeah.
Yeah, this is all ridiculous. I'm sorry. They had that rally in Tulsa where a whole bunch of people ended up getting COVID and Herman Cain died. Like, I have no sympathy. I'm not sitting here like happy. I'm not happy at all. I saw this is how unfazed I am at this moment because I've got other things going on. My Google News alert popped up and I saw it said the president test, but well, the first thing I saw was Hope Hicks test positive for COVID. And I was like, didn't she already have it? I was so confused. I'm like, didn't I was like, and then I said, wait a minute, Hope Hicks is still working at the White House? I thought she got fired. Like, so this is how much I'm living under a rock. That's one. And then two, then the next thing I saw, the next headline I see is Donald Trump and Melania test positive for COVID, and I just went like, really? Like, am I supposed to care? I just want to know, like, I'm asking you, am I supposed to care about this?
Hey, look. I think the what happens is in thinking about it, not so much for him, but the entire country, in the sense that this can happen and people are still stuck on just being really foolish about things. Like that's the thing. Like seeing the helicopter come and you know, they get into the helicopter and they fly him to a hospital. It's like unreal, but then at the same time it's like people who are I saw a meme where there was a guy is you know, there's the old meme where the guy is like sweating. He has two different buttons and they're like two hard choices and he's like sweating or whatever and he's trying to figure out which one to press, but they're really, really difficult choice. And someone like superimposed, you know, 'cause that's what they do. We recycle memes. They re superimposed like Trump supporters and they put like, you know, say that COVID is still a hoax. Or pray for his healing. And it's like, dang, they didn't know what to do because they have to reveal or you know admit that it's actually not a hoax. But it's frustrating. As funny as these things are, it's frustrating as well because like I said, people are still being foolish. I mean, there was a video going around of people walking through Target telling people to take their masks off, like as some type of weird protest. And I just look at them like you've never, because the idea that this is like a hoax, the idea that you are being persecuted, which honestly, if you think a mask is persecution, you've never experienced persecution in your life.
Clearly.
You know, so like things of that nature and how people are reacting, it's like it's really telling. And so, you know, there's a lot of people who are like, "Oh, I can't believe you're making fun of the president and all this other stuff." And then I'm just like, "But people are still being foolish. Like, does it even matter at this point? Like, you know, and that's to say, like, I hope everyone gets well. You know, I saw Barack Obama tweeted that, you know, he and his wife were praying for them, and I'm like, you know, solid. You know, that's a class act. But I can totally understand how people are on the other side of that, just because he doesn't. He doesn't care. Like a lot of them just don't care about anybody else but
I
themselves.
mean, yeah, it's like I mean, it's not even really me. I know that there's people out there who are like, oh, it's about time. Like he gets COVID. It's like it's about time. Maybe he can go through what other people are going through because of the way that he was behaving. He was being so anti and so irresponsible and so uncaring towards other people who had gotten it and died. I mean, it was just like it was, you know, when did you see the pictures of all of the flags that were posted on the mall of the 200,000
No.
Americans? Yeah, so there's flags, there's those little flags
Oh, wow.
that people there's 200,000 of them on the mall. They are all over the grass. You know, in front of the Washington Monument and everything, 200,000 of them for all the Americans who've died. And you know, my sister sent me that text, and my other sister's like, I wish that they could put these flags on the lawn of the White House instead, so that he could be reminded every day that these 200,000 people have died, even though he refused to wear a mask and he refused to you know, be a responsible
Right.
politician. Him and the rest of his cronies, like they're not, they're so anti-responsibility when it comes to this disease, and it's like he has it now, and I'm really asking the question, am I supposed to care? Because I don't have any sympathy. Like, and I'm not sitting here saying, oh, I hope he gets sick and I hope he gets very, like, I'm not wishing death or maim
Right.
and pain on him, but I don't care that he has it. My only concern, because I, you know, it now we are how many months into this pandemic? We're going into a year for real, because like this started last year in another country.
Right.
Like this got wind of this in December, and then they basically said that they, like I forgot where it was, France or whatnot, was doing some studies, and they were saying no, there was presence of this disease in as early as October. So we're a year into this,
Yeah.
and this guy and his peeps have been acting like complete total jackoffs, and now it finally hit him after a whole year. And I do not care. I saw the headline and didn't even bother clicking it. I read everything else on my feed. I'm like, I don't care. My only concern is that it doesn't spread in a certain, in, you know, a way to others, where it's like just people who have jobs at the White House, just people who are just, you know, the, like the White House press corps.
Right.
I'm like, I hope that they are all taking their precautions and wearing their mask. I know they are wearing their mask. I've seen them when they go to the lawn and, you know, they do the majority of these press briefings outside, and they're social distancing. Like they're staying a certain amount of feet away from the others. And I appreciate that because they're aware and they are bringers of truth and care about actual facts. But this guy and those close to him don't care. And today at work, residents were saying, and just residents and a couple other coworkers were talking about, yeah, you know, now that the president has it, it's really obvious that just about anybody can get this. And so it's really important that I wear my mask. And I was like, the president really shouldn't be your end all be all that anybody can get this.
Yeah, like, not with the way he was acting. It would be different if he was in a bunker for however long. Yeah. But that's not the case. He was.
It's not.
He was doing a lot of.
Like, how if Tom Hanks and his wife could get COVID, then you should have already been like, anybody can get it. How many famous people? We don't. I mean, obviously, we're gonna have to say famous people because there's a lot of people who got it who we don't know. There's 200,000. Other Americans that got it and we don't even know who they are. But just be simple. Tom Hanks and his wife got it.
Right.
Michael Che's grandmother got it. We don't know her, but we know Michael Che. You know, like
or just the fact that so many people are. The fact that it spread so quickly to however many countries. Yeah. The fact that the CDC and other people are telling you to what to do, like you don't have to be that smart to be that smart, if you get what I'm saying. So it's unfortunate. And like I said, I'm not upset at anybody who feels the way you feel, who feels the way. My takeaway from it was, you know, conflicting emotions and the sadness that I know that it's not going to be done. It's not going to be over. People are still going to be foolish. And 2020, as much as we, you know, disliked this year, it's not going to end in 2020. It's gonna go forward, and so that's unfortunate. With that being said, whether you're cheering for his current status or not, we didn't necessarily want to open on a negative note, so I'm gonna add a little bit of good news in the fact that I was playing. So Mario is celebrating his 35th anniversary this year.
Yo, Mario.
And I was playing. There's a new game it's for a limited time you can play on the Switch where you basically play a Mario Brothers game, the old Mario Brothers game, but against 35 other people. And the goal is to stay alive as long as possible to be the number one person. And the way this works is you play through the Mario levels and you're racing against the time. And every like Goomba and Koopa and whatever that you kill goes to somebody else. They jump into their game. And so as you're playing, you know, these normal levels, all of a sudden there's a ton of more enemies than there ever been before. And every time you kill one, you get more time. And like I said, they go to somebody else. And so once the numbers start to dwindle down, I think to like four people, the time speeds up. So now you have to kind of get through the levels quicker because if your time runs out, you also lose. And so I started playing because it came out yesterday, so Thursday. And so I played it a little bit Thursday and I played it today and I kept getting in second and I was like, what am I doing wrong? And today I got in first and it was great.
Yay!
I had to stunt. I was sharing it on Facebook, on Twitter. I was like, in your face, Sam. Sam was the second. Mm-hmm. He was the runner up. I was like, in your face. Hey, that's what you get. I was like, I am Mario. Anyways. Yes. Small victories.
Very, very small.
It's a fun game, and like I said, it's temporary. But it's free online right now. If you have a Switch and access to their online service, check it out. You're not going to beat me, but that's okay. That is quite all right.
Ooh. Like I've made a declaration of war. Anybody want to test me?
Facts.
Ain't nobody rock me. This battle is done.
Hey, I
stop.
Most of the time, I'm in the top three at least. So yeah, you're not gonna beat me.
Okay. Out of the top three, are there only eight people playing? Like, what's happening here? Like, how
No,
many
it's
people?
35. It's 35 at the start. So, but yeah, it's definitely fun. And I recommend, if you're a fan of, the old Super Mario Brothers game, definitely check it out. Similar to the Tetris 99 game that my wife likes to play a lot. That's also on the Switch. Very fun games, and they're just smart. Like Battle Royale is a big thing right now, so
Yeah.
it was ingenious. I don't know why it's for a limited time though. Nintendo needs to get it together. I don't understand. Same thing with their recent video game bundles with all the three with there's three popular 3D Mario games that they've bundled together. That's also limited. I don't know why. Nintendo, stop it.
Stop it.
But yeah, wanted to start on some good, a little bit of good news in that. But the topic today has to do with the treatment of black women and
Yeah.
how they aren't treated very well in this country or anywhere, actually, to be honest.
Is it the most protected woman in America is the black woman?
Yeah, definitely. I think the height is the white woman, and then way at the opposite end is the black woman. And
Right.
there's like statistics to back this up. But we're going to talk about three areas or three just, generalizing places that we want to kind of fit in. We're not going to go over the history because that would take way too long. But we do want to talk about some recent things that have been happening in our lives, things that have been happening, publicly with some celebrities, and then how people are acting or how people are responding to this information. So the
Right.
first thing we want to talk about is mediocre white men getting jobs over competent or professional black women and what that experience is like. Now, I know you have some personal experience with that, and I don't know how much you want to share, being that, well, I mean, I guess it's kind of safe because not many people listen to our podcast,
Like
but.
nobody listens, and I don't tell anybody at work to listen. I mean, one day somebody might be like, "Hey, can you please give us all of your tags?" And then somebody might be like, "So I hear that you said these things, and yeah, you can't work here anymore." And you know what? That may happen, but what it is just that, I have just had I've had many work experiences, so sometimes you get to a point in life like where I'm 38 now. I've been working since I was 15.
Right.
And I am at this point where you kind of see people in their mediocrity and you see them succeeding, you see their success, and you know it's all BS. And it's like the only thing this one person is good at is just straight horseshit. Just horseshit. Like, you're not good at the task at hand. You're not good at what you're hired for. You're not good at really anything that has anything to do with this particular job. You don't have the skill set for this. The only thing that you're really good at is fooling people into believing that you're good at something because maybe you've done that your whole life. And that doesn't necessarily have to be, tied to like white men. It can honestly be tied to anybody as an individual, but
Right.
in what I'm discussing, what we're discussing is just how it seemingly continues to happen in the workforce to women in general and then to women of color. So if America has always been like this good old boys club where men have been in power for the longest time, then obviously this is going to be the thing. Like, if men have been in power, it's been white men. White men have been in power. And so obviously
Right.
the constructs already exist for things to always be in a way where white men exist and white men succeed because that's the way it's always been. Now, a good example of this is like in what season one or season two of Insecure when Molly was working at the law firm and she was working at the white law firm before she decided to leave and go to the black law firm.
Right. Yeah.
And like her coworker who always bullshitted, like the thing that he was best at was going to happy hours.
Yeah.
Remember, he was schmoozing and doing that kind of stuff, like being that guy that the other people in the office are like, hey, bro, what are you doing? What are you doing after work? You want to go to this?" And he was always like that. And he was getting paid like thousands of dollars more than she was, even though she was the one doing all the work.
She was like closing cases and you know, like championing their clients and, you know, staying late. And I want to say she was up for a promotion, and it was kind of like the way they kind of presented it was like you were never going to get this promotion no matter how good you were.
Yep.
You know, his father works here, or, you know, something to that extent where it's just like, we're just going to bump you over. You know?
Yeah. And that it's not false. There's nothing false about that situation that Molly was in. It's so true. And it happens all the time. And it just gets to this point in life where you're just frustrated because you're sitting here like, damn, I can run circles around this person. I can literally run circles around this person and also do the job better. I literally can run circles around the person and do the job better. Like, and it's so frustrating. It's so frustrating. And, you know, I feel like I'm going through a situation, and I'm in a situation where I don't even want to do this person's job better. I don't want that. That's not what I'm asking for. I don't want to do this person's job. That's not what I was hired to do. I'm just so tired of dealing with the person who is so, so insanely incapable at doing his job. Insanely incapable. I find it mind-boggling. And I have found myself, I don't want to say like, oh, going down like this road, but it's like, I keep upsetting myself. I keep disappointing myself because for the most part, I take responsibility for everything that I do. And I find ways to get my work done without trying to engage this other person. But then there are these times where I'm like, let me give this person an opportunity to actually do the job. And it's just a setup for my own failure. And I had to tell myself that yesterday. I was like, you know what? I did this to myself. I gave this person an opportunity to do their job and to do it properly by asking them to actually do their job. And once again, this person told me to wait because he was occupied doing something else. Because for some reason, it is so hard for him to do a job that takes approximately 36 seconds.
Well, in this case,
I'm not exaggerating.
Because your position is a little more difficult because it's not like he's just a coworker. This person is above you. Like, the position is above you, right?
Exactly.
So
this person is a manager, and I am basically a salesperson.
So what happens is their inactivity or their, you know, lack of professionalism, it falls down, like their whatever they were doing, it falls on you to kind of do, or to, you know, pick up the slack, if you will.
Yeah. And it's also, there are things that I can't do. If I'm not a manager, I have limited possibilities. I have limited capabilities. I have limited authority in our systems. That's why you have a manager. The manager can do those things and the regular people can't, because that's how our pay structure is. I'm not supposed to do those things. I don't get paid to do those things. And so thing is, I've done this at many of my jobs. I try to make my manager's job easy. And I've learned this because sometimes you work for managers. Like, there are good managers out there who don't like to hear stuff. They don't want to hear explanations. They just want to know what you need and how quickly can they do it. And I don't mind working with managers like that. I actually like managers like that who are very clear with their expectations, who are like, hey, this is what I have to get done today. This is what I need you to do. What do you need from me? Help me help you do your job. Help me help you help me help you. Okay?
Right.
And so because I've worked in that experience for a long time, I typically do a lot of work on my own. I do a lot of back work and like back end work. So then when I present to management what I need done for them, it's very clear, it's very concise, and the work has been done. They just need to do their thing, which is typically sign off, or typically is to say yes or no. Just be like, look at this, read what I've compiled. Like, I'm a report girl. I can do that. Like, I can compile something, give it to you and say, hey, this is the tea. This is what I suggest. This is what I would like, but you're the manager. Da, da, da.
Right.
And it's very simple. You know, I try not to take more than out of an entire 8-hour workday, I try not to take more than 30 minutes of my manager's time in the whole day. And that's how much work I'm doing as an employee to be like, that's what I call hard work. And
yeah, because you're doing double shifts kind of.
Yeah. I am making my manager's life easy because my manager has other things to do. So let me do the stuff. And then when I give it to you, trust me enough. You hired me. You knew what my skill set was. Trust me enough to believe that what I've done is right, so that all you need to do is say yay or nay or click a button. Da, 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 da. And if it's wrong, you can find out during audit. You don't have to audit right then and there because there's no time for that. The job isn't set up for that. The job is set up very clearly. Hey, hire your salespeople to do this, to do this job. Give them the tools so that they can do that job right. And they only need you to do approvals. All they need you for is approve.
Basically, manage some stuff.
If you are a car salesman, your car salesman will work with a person and say, this is the price of the car. And then they go into a room where they pull out a square, you know, four boxes, and they say, this is how much your monthly payment is. This is how much you're in your taxes for the item, and da da da. And this is how much the out the door price is, right? That's what car salesmen do. And you want to know what? Car salesmen can't close a deal without the manager. You know, yeah. Every time if a car is on the lot for $25,000 and you're trying to get it for $20,000, and you go back and forth with the salesman, guess what the salesman always does? At the end, when you get close to the end, who comes in the room? The manager. That's the job. The salesperson does all the work. The manager walks in. The manager's like, I approve. Boom, bada bing, done. And then the manager goes away. Yeah. That is basically my job. I just sell apartments. And every time I am down to that last wire, when it comes to this individual, I've done all the work. And I'm like, okay, here we go. I just need you to sign. Or I just need you to do this. Then I get hit with 20 questions. And I'm like, what is wrong with you?
Well, seemingly because we've spoken, you know, off air and whatnot, but it was seemingly like you have to do your job, the job that I hired you for. He doesn't do his management piece of it.
Nope.
And then when you finally have to connect after doing your job plus his job, he doesn't even trust you to have done your job properly. Because what you were telling me before was like, there was something that he was supposed to do that he left for you and you weren't trained on it. And
oh, yeah.
It was like, you're like, well, I don't know how to do this because no one ever trained me. He's like, I just need you to do this real quick because I have something else to do, you know, some pressing matter that was probably personal, and just get her done. And so when you do your job plus his job, and then you're like, okay, I'm it for the day. This is what I got. These are my numbers. This is whatever. He's like, yeah, but I don't trust you're competent enough to do it. And it's like, why did you even – you're giving me my job plus extra responsibility, but you don't trust me? That doesn't make any sense.
None of it makes any sense. And I feel like it's just like a big mind fuck. And I'm not the only person who goes through this. Like, there are so many women out here who go through like having a male manager who doesn't trust them, or having a male manager who doesn't understand them, or having a male manager who just, it's just so awkward. And mind you, I'm not saying that women managers can't be extra cray cray too. Like, hey, we're all scarred. But I am saying that when you have somebody who seems to have only gotten their job or is only in the situation that they're in because they know how to bullshit, and they're straight mediocre, and they also happen to be like a white male, it's like, dude, what is, there's just so many questions. There's so many questions because I'm just like, I don't understand. And for me, it's a little bit different for me in my particular situation. You know, I'm walking in, yes, I'm a black woman. And yes, one of my managers is white and he is amazing. He's the best manager ever. He's amazing. And this other guy isn't, but the question isn't me coming in as a black woman into the situation. It's actually that there's another black woman already there and has been working there longer than the person who is now the assistant manager. And I guess I'm so confused because, like, maybe I'm bringing something else into the situation, this this confusion, but I'm looking at this black woman who's been there for 5 years, and then this white man who's been there for 2 years, and him becoming assistant manager who has no skills. He's never done this job, and then had the nerve to actually tell me one day, oh, you know, you just need to get your foot in the door and then you can become a manager. And I'm like, is that how this works? But that doesn't work for me. That doesn't work for me. That's never happened for me. Anytime I've ever been a manager, I had to work my ass off to get there. I've always worked my ass off to ever become a manager anywhere I've been. And I've been a manager almost everywhere I've ever been. But I've worked my ass off. So, you know, when I hear him say, oh yeah, I used to be a concierge and, you know, I knew some people. He literally tells me this. I used to be a concierge and I knew some people. And, you know, I worked for this temp company doing concierge. And then, you know, I guess I knew the owner and I knew this person. And, you know, you basically just need to get your foot in the door and become a manager. And I'm like, is that how it works for you?
It's unfortunate. It is.
And in my situation where I do feel like I am being so overrun by just this one individual, because I'm like, I'm getting frustrated. I'm getting tired. I'm argumentative at this point because everything I feel like I'm being asked is ridiculous. But then, like, for example, yesterday I'm at work and I'm frustrated because, like I said, I set myself up for disappointment just by simply asking him to do his job. Something that only takes 30 seconds. I asked for him to sign something. I said, can you please sign this? It was already done. It just needed his signature. Just needed a manager signature. And he says, can't do it right now. I'm doing something else and it needs to get done. But the thing is, what I've asked for, the manager signature, it actually only takes approximately 36 seconds. That's it. That's as long as it takes. It's a click, and like a scroll, and then another click, and it takes about 36 seconds. I know because I've timed it. So
it's got the stopwatch.
Yeah. So I just thought it was really interesting that this is maybe the 15th time I've ever asked him to do this or do something. I'm sorry, to do this exact task. And I find it interesting when somebody says, oh, I can't do this, I'm busy, when a task takes 36 seconds. This isn't a large task that takes hours, or this isn't a large task that even takes 7 minutes. It's not even a large task that requires you to get out of a screen. Like, you know what I mean? You know how, like, if you're in a program and somebody asks you to do something, that happens to me all day. I'll be in the middle of creating an actual lease, and then somebody will walk up to me and say, can you please print my lease for me? I can't print your lease. I'm creating another lease right now. I actually cannot leave this screen because I'm in the middle of an actual process. It's like writing code. I cannot leave. This semicolon is extremely important right now. You know, what I've asked him to do is not that. It's not that at all. You know, it doesn't require him to leave the screen. So why can't you do it again?
I mean, it's from what you were saying before, it's a lot of that, though. It's like, I can't do my job. Like, I do all these other things. I'm not there, but I can imagine, like, being on the phone, you know, popping up when something big is about to happen. So you can kind of take the credit, you know, that sort of thing. But outside of, like, just things that aren't done well, or someone being mediocre and still being promoted because of who they know or whatever, because that happens with everybody. There's also the idea of, like, where people who are competent, who are doing well, but they get paid more than the people who are next to them that are doing the same job. We saw that recently. Well, at least I know in my side of the things, in my field on Twitter, where people were being open about their salaries and how a lot of the male white editors were getting paid way more than their black and female counterparts. And then even from there, there's another divide where, like, you know, a white counterpart versus a black counterpart, like, you know, the black women editors, and there's not even that many, weren't getting the amount of money. And at some point, Because I know people, they will be like, you know, well, this person has more experience, so they got paid, or maybe they were just better at negotiating. No, there's a lot of the places now are have it are unionized, and
Yeah.
people, there's a bottom, like you can't go below this rate. But even then, it's like looking at the gulf in how much people are making. When the other person or the person who's making less has been there for way longer, who had
Yeah.
way more responsibility, it's like,
Yeah.
dude, how are you making this much money? And
How?
like, you know, and it wasn't, and it's that's not to knock down the white people because they were being honest. They were like, hey, we didn't even know that this was like a thing because,
Right.
because, you know, corporations, they tell you not to share how much you're getting
Exactly.
paid because they
And
don't
you know
want.
what?
They don't want to ruffle feathers. They don't want people to get, and really, they don't want people to know that certain people aren't getting paid
Yep.
as much as they should. And what's being happened? So like, no one was telling them like step down. No one was saying like, you know, you should quit your job, that you're not working
Yeah.
hard, that you don't deserve what you're getting paid. It's just the idea that we also deserve that as well if we are
Oh.
also doing our jobs, you know, well or better than some of your, you know, your coworkers.
Yeah.
And so like across the board, and that's, this is women across the board where, you know, they make less, but black women especially, and it's unfortunate. I'm hoping that some of the things that are happening where a lot of people are kind of coming to task for these discrepancies or, you know, this injustice, that things will be changing. You know, when people start showing their salaries, people start asking questions like, hey, why am I getting paid like, you know, $50,000 less than such and such. Like that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's even a conversation. And it was there, like eye opening or whatever. Beyond the job though, there's also how black women are treated when, for instance, like when they go to the hospital and how statistically doctors think that black women can endure more pain than white women. Or black people can endure more pain, and so they don't give them the proper medicine, they don't give them the proper treatment. They're like, oh, go home, you'll be okay, and then the people end up dying,
Exactly.
you know, because of it. I know there was a story of I forgot who the person was, but it was, I knew it was on the news a few years ago, where a guy went in with his wife, she had given birth, and I think that as a few hours afterwards, she had said she felt cold and she wasn't feeling well, and he kept trying to get the doctors to kind of check in on her, and they wouldn't.
Yeah.
Finally, when someone did do a like a X-ray or whatever, they found out that she was bleeding internally, and unfortunately, she passed. And he was like, I was trying to get someone to listen to me, and for I think a full day, that they were she was being ignored.
Yeah.
And that's crazy. But it was, but like, you know, the white woman in, you know, the room adjacent who had, you know, something way less serious was
Right.
seen almost immediately. And so,
Exactly,
and,
exactly.
you know, and granted, you know, I know a lot of people out there are gonna be like, well, we don't know the situation. We don't know what was happening across the hospital. It happens too often
Thank you.
for it to be a coincidence. The same
Thank
thing
you.
with women not getting paid the right amount, or, you know, someone mediocre, you know, getting a raise or getting pushed up because they know, you know, they're related to so and so, or, you know, they just happen to be white. Like
Yeah.
it happens. It happens a lot.
We watch Black-ish. Remember, like one of my favorite parts about Black-ish is the fact that Dre works for this ad agency, and you know I mean, like he makes lots of money. Like he's great, and he's the head of his division and all that stuff. And you know that the owner's son, one of the major partners, his son works there, and it's like you're just his kid. And he has no
Right.
talent. Remember, there's the episode where the guy's like, "Oh, I gave my son the day off. There's a cricket out front of his apartment door." And Dre's like, "What?" And that's what I love about the show, because it's a caricature of, you know, of real life.
Right.
And it's like, here is Dre, who is very, very competent at his job and everything like this, but he can't get away with certain things. Mind you, the owner, who's white, his son literally has this amazing job where he gets paid, and he's talentless. And he gets to take the day off because there's a cricket in front of his door. Because I think that same episode, Dre was trying to either take some time off or do, I can't remember what it was, but if Dre was like, oh, I need to take the time off, they would be like, are you having problems? Is your son on drugs? Like, if a black person says like, oh, I need this time off, it's like, oh, are you like, it looked at this huge thing. Like, oh my God, this person having problems. Is like, is their cousin getting out of jail and they need to take time off to make sure they're okay? And like all of these reasons why a black person takes time off from work, but the white guy takes time off because there was a cricket in front of his door.
That's insane. That's
it's so funny because you have to humorize like the real stories that people are saying. And that's why we're like, you know, even certain situations would be like, oh, okay, you know, this isn't really what it is. But what we're trying to say is that it happens so often, it happens more often than not, that there's a reason to shed light. There's a reason to say, hey, this is really a thing. Like, black people in the workforce have always been treated differently, but you really, really take the microscope and kind of hone in on the stories that black women are saying and have been saying for decades.
Right.
Look, nobody believed Anita Hill.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, like, this is a black woman, a smart woman. Smart. Okay. Like, doing things. And it's just like, hey, by the way, this guy who you're appointing to the highest court in the land is disgusting. And I just need to raise my hand. Everybody's like, she's a plant.
Yeah. I mean, not believe, like, not listening, not, you know, willing to take I don't want to say their side, but just to totally disregard what women are saying.
Yeah.
A lot of the times, it just happens way too often. We look at, you know, moving on to our second portion, we look at what was happening with Tory Lanez and Meg Thee Stallion, and how, you know, that whole incident. Tory Lanez. That's what that's what he's gonna be called from now on. Tory Lanez. You know, it came out that, or she said on live that he shot her in the foot after an argument. I'm not gonna go into everything because most people in the world know what happened, or at least know about the story because it's been on TMZ, it's been on everything. You know, hip hop related or you know, R&B, basically black people stuff. And so, you know, she apparently was upset. You know, the internet, social media was getting to her, and Tory Lanez, his PR people, I guess, were saying some things behind the scenes that she didn't like. So she just came out and said it. Hey, you shot me. Stop pretending like you didn't. Stop lying. Stop all this other stuff. So people were waiting. I immediately was like, all right, Tory Lanez is trash. Like, I don't know what, unless your life was in danger, unless your children's lives were in danger, there's no reason. At the very least, like, you know, you shot her in the foot. Like, anyways, so I was like, trash. And so he doesn't say anything. So people are like, you know, Tory Lanez needs to say something. He needs to, you know, have his own live or something. His silence makes it look worse. And the fact that she said you by name, Lanez, and you didn't say anything, it kind of like, yeah, it just looked bad. And so I honestly didn't want to hear what he, unless they, I wanted to see them go to court. I wanted him to be tried for it. You know, if it was, he's found guilty, cool, deport him, put him in jail, whatever the case may be. But there were some people who were like, you know, women be lying, and, you know, it's trash. It's trash. Because there's some men who are like, no matter what women say, they're lying. Just, and was bad about this is that they'll take one case of a woman lying, you know, a high profile case, and they will use that until the cows come home. Like, they will just, they will constantly use that. And unfortunately, no matter what happens, it's always going to be, well, you know, she might be lying. You know, I mean, I saw him with the gun and I saw him shoot her, but she could be lying. And so there was a few people who were hanging out like, all right, let's hear what he has to say. This fool goes and he sends out a tweet saying, or, you know, IG saying basically that he's not going to be silent anymore. So it's like, oh, OK, he's about to spill the tea. He's about to really go, you know, he's about to tell you what happened that night. You know, he drops an album And I just threw my hands up and was like, Linez is trash. Go ahead, go ahead and wrap him up, sit him beside the curb and let the, let the trucks pick him up. But there were people out there like, yo, his album is kind of good though. Or, I mean, listen to what he's saying. I'm like, I don't need to listen. Even if he's innocent, which I don't think he is, you drop an album, like you're trying to profit off of. This isn't Confessions 2, okay? This is not like, a cheating story that you embellish to sell music. No, this is a literal crime. Like, what? And then
You can't
in the
blame the
midst of
fans
like
about it.
he did it the day after, either it was the day of or the day after the verdict came down, in the Breonna Taylor case. So to adds, insult to injury, like nuts. And people are caping for him, and I'm like, why?
I can't deal with this kind of, I'm being honest, like this is some nonsense because August Alsina in the whole entanglement song
Yes.
and everything. I can't. I really just can't. And Tory Lanez, and I need y'all to understand why he's being called Tory Lanez because I didn't know who the heck he was. And I was reading something, some headline that said, Meg Thee Stallion claims that she was shot in the foot or in the leg or something by Tory Lanez. And I was like, I said to my sister, I said, oh, I said, who's Tory Lanez? And my nieces was there and they're like, Tory Lanez. And I'm like, sure. I don't know who. Okay, so that is why Lanez. And I have no respect for him anyway, because I don't know who he is. I don't even know what he does. I don't even know anything about this album. All I know is that a woman says she got shot in the foot by him, and this is just not okay.
Yeah,
This is
it's she said, sure.
not okay. I did. I was like, sure. Like,
Oh,
I don't know
man.
him from Adam. Like, I don't know. That's okay. So his name is not Tory Lanez, because that's what it looks like.
Nah, it's Linez now.
Thank
That's
you.
what it's gonna be now. But yeah, it's just it because to be honest, you don't need to know who he is. That's the problem. If he wasn't famous, if he wasn't someone that somewhere someone likes his music, it wouldn't be an issue. But
Thank
the
you.
fact that he's famous, that he has a little bit of clout, he has, he made one good song that you like, now you just have to believe him. It's not dissimilar to the people who like R. Kelly. Like,
Thank
no
you.
matter what they do, you hold out hope that they didn't do it because of who you think they are.
Right.
And
Brings us to our next topic.
it does. Before we even move to the next topic, it's the idea that, like, yeah, let's just move on. I'm done with Tory. I'm done with Tory Lanez. And yeah, whatever. It actually fits though. Our next topic, in the sense of black men caping for black men. There's this narrative of like a certain people. I'm not gonna speak about Oprah because I think Oprah is shady, but
And
about
I'm not
other, yeah, like I think other women. There's this narrative about black women, certain black women that are in like the media, trying to take down black men, trying to sully their name, try to drag them through the mud. They don't attack white men, blah 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 blah. You know what? I don't care. And I say that with all certainty, that I do not care. The reason I do not care, whether it's true or not, is because if these people are doing the things that they are accused of doing, then they should be locked away. I don't care. There's this weird thing where, like, if you point out that a black man did something wrong, especially to a black woman, then you are somehow sending us back in time. Like, you're somehow hurting the very fabric of the men out there, like the black man, like the image, like you're doing. And I'm like, no, these fools are doing it. Jesse Smollett, whatever his name is,
Jesse Smollett. Yeah, we call him
Smollett.
Smollett. We can call him Jesse Smollett.
With people like, because a lot of people was riding for him. And granted, he didn't do anything to a black woman, but I'm just saying, people were riding for him. Found out that his story was a little shaky, and the idea that like, all you guys jumped on his back, and you don't know what the kind of stress he was going through, and blah blah blah. I'm like, did he lie though?
Right.
Did he lie though? The people who are like, R. Kelly, this documentary comes out and all of a sudden y'all change your mind. Like, no, fam, I wasn't liking him from a long time ago. I told our
Yeah.
DJ at our wedding that he is not allowed to play R. Kelly.
I know.
Like, at all. We no step in the name of nothing. You're not,
No.
I don't believe none of the stuff that he, no. None of
Nope.
that.
Nope.
Or people like, what about Michael Jackson? Like, if you're gonna cancel him, cancel. And I'm like, okay, here's my notepad, right? I want you to write down all the names of the dudes who are doing goofy stuff. Bill Cosby, we could put him in there. Who else? If the stories are true about what's the dude from Def Jam? Crap, his name just fell out of my head.
Oh no.
Crap.
Wait.
Ah, not
I don't know.
Revron. His brother.
His brother. Yeah. Yeah,
Shoot,
yeah, yeah.
Simmons. Anyways,
Yeah,
if
Russell.
Russell Simmons, right? If anything, if the stories are true about it, throw him away. Throw him away. I don't care. The idea that I'm supposed to care because they did something great at one point at one time, nope. Am I supposed to care because this information is coming out now that they're about to do something great? Don't care. Is it this something that because it makes black men look bad? Nope. Don't care. All of you are making us look bad, period. None of that matters. If you're doing these things that they're accusing you of, if you are, drugging women, being, sexually harassing women, all this other stuff, no, there is no caping for you. I don't understand anybody who could be like Tory Lanez is this or that right now, or sorry, Lanez, excuse
That
me, and to be like, well, maybe th no, and I'm not saying that. We shouldn't have a jury, that we shouldn't take it to court. I'm not saying that we should just judge off of whatever, because I do believe in some type of due process. What I'm
Yeah.
saying though is that when the information comes out and you come to find within yourself that it could be true, and you still rock with them, because that's the problem I had when the documentary was happening with R. Kelly. It wasn't people saying I don't believe it. Not one person in my mentions was saying, I don't believe it happened. What they said was either I'm gonna still listen to his music anyways, or I don't believe all of the women.
Right.
You believe some of them were telling the truth, but not all of them. You don't think it's 12 women locked in his basement. You think it's only four.
Right.
That's my problem. The people who are like, Michael Jackson, you gonna throw him away because he touched some kid? Not that you don't believe. You're saying that in spite of, I'm still gonna rock with him. That is
Yeah.
my problem. If you felt like the documentary was BS and he didn't do these things, I don't know how, but okay, fine. We at the very least I can have a conversation with you. But if you're gonna disregard everything, the same thing with Bill Cosby. He's gonna buy NBC, and that's why all these women are coming. But did he do it though?
Yeah,
He
did he do
admitted to
it?
buying drugs to give these women.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and then like we have family members who had actually run-ins with him and how creepy he was and all this other stuff, and it's like all this information is coming to light, and it's like, well, he's trust me, Bill Cosby was one of my heroes.
Yep, we talked about that before. He was the reason you went to college.
Right.
Like,
Still threw him under the bus. Still threw
yep.
him under the jail. Don't care.
Yep.
Like, no, you're not going to do something horrible to us or to women, and then for me to be like, you're still cool. That's not,
Yeah,
I can't
that's not
rock
a
like that.
yep.
I don't understand people. I don't. And so this weird net, because I've heard, like, I'm a big fan of Royce da 5'9", and he had there's a what is it? He was on a song recently with Eminem and a bunch of Detroit rappers. Basically, they had like a big cipher, and it was on what's his name? Crap, I am bad with names today. it was on This is a Detroit, Big Sean. It was on Big Sean's album, and it was a big. It was a basically a posse cut where he had a bunch of Detroit rappers rapping, and there was one line with Royce 5'9" talking about how, Gayle and Oprah are like targeting black men, and I wanted to be like, I wish I could be like, yo, like, I get what you're trying to say, and I don't have any qualms with you beefing with Oprah because she did some shady stuff, but you can't have this stance, fam. If they're doing these things, you can't have this stance. We're not gonna throw our women under the bus for crimey for horrible men, and then get upset when we point it out. Like, if you did something wrong, I should be able to point it out. And this is especially coming from someone who made a whole album about, the ills of his parents, the ills of his father doing drugs and being abusive to his mother. You made a whole album about that. And granted, your father's in a better place. He went to rehab and everything right now, but you made a whole album called The Book of Ryan about talking about how, these how you have a problem with alcohol because your dad had a problem with drugs and, this obsessive nature that you have with these vices and how they burn and hurt people. You talked about all the negative stuff, essentially. You didn't hold any punches. Dope album, one of my favorite albums. But then you turn around later on and go, well, there's such and such throwing people under the, like, throwing black men under the bus. You did this, you had a whole album about your dad. Like, how is that okay? Like, and not to say that people can't be forgiven, people can't, go through rehab like like his dad did, but you can't have a stance like that and then be like, I'm a faithful husband, I'm a, lovable brother, I'm a good son. Like, your mom, your sister, your wife, all women, your daughter, women. Like, you can't have that stance and then go look at them in the face and be cool. Like, at least I can't.
No, you can't. That's not okay. It's not. I'm not about this. Like, this whole thing of people, this whole thing of people like just riding hard and not like it goes back into kind of this idea. Women talk about this in a general sense about how men ride for men.
Yeah.
It's kind of the thing. And this whole new era of the last like couple of years where women have started supporting other women, it's extremely important at this point because it's been so long of men not supporting women in these types of avenues. Like men not supporting women when women are claiming that they're being abused, not being there. Men not supporting women when women are saying, I'm not being treated right in the workplace. And men not supporting women when women are like, hey, I'm not getting the health care I need. And men being the doctors, men being in control, men always having, being in control in this kind of, the way the system has always been set up.
Right.
And so here we are down into this kind of microcosm with black men supporting black men with the idea that, hey, somebody needs to support black men. It's like, black women are like, hey, we need to support brothers because, we're always getting put down and we're always getting the bottom of the barrel, this, that, and the other. So no matter what, we're going to ride for each other. And it's like, no. The way that we support black men is by supporting black women.
Right.
Like, black men have to understand that you can't support another black man, that especially that is doing wrong and is doing dirty on multiple millions of levels. Just for the idea of standing behind, just for the idea of solidarity. That's not what we need. We need if you stand behind black women who are telling you over and over again that, hey, this is not the person that you want. I'm all for solidarity, but for crying out loud, don't die on the hill protecting Bill Cosby. That's a crumbling mountain. That's a volcano. Don't, why would you want to do that? Why would you want to be that person? And
Yeah.
it for me, like especially, being a woman and experiencing this very many times in my life, kind of watching men in a general sense support other men. And even in this situation where I feel like I've gone into work situations and I'm like, the man who's bullshitting manages to get away with bullshitting because he's mediocre, and other men recognize that. other men recognize his mediocre hustle, and they're like, either A, I was mediocre once. Hold on a second. I just witnessed my dog eat a paper towel.
I was confused in the way you were going.
For a second. I just watched her do it, and you know what? I can't do anything about it. That's what she wanted to do with her life, and that's what she did, and that clearly made her happy, and maybe I should support her. Why? Because she's a woman. And I'm just saying that the whole thing with men and their mediocrity, like, if you're mediocre, if you're mediocre, you know, you might have to support another mediocre person so that nobody else finds out about y'all's mediocrity.
Yeah.
And so you can have black men who are sitting here supporting other black men who are doing dirty. And it's like, are you doing dirty too? So y'all can like support your whole dirty ring. Like, no, this isn't okay. So yeah, I just think it's very important to kind of to talk about that, to bring it out and just be like, look, this isn't the way we ride, people. You need to call it out when you see it. Don't sit there and ride for R. Kelly. Like, I don't know what people thought, the people who were in, you know, the group that lied and everything for R. Kelly and helped him do all the bad things that he did. I don't know what you thought that he was going to give you. And I understand the desperation, you know, being poor and blah, 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 and being like, hey, this is my ticket. And yeah, a lot of people kind of do stuff like that. But you were on a sinking ship. So the people who are sitting there like, yeah, you know, I'm going to ride for R. Kelly, people trying to take down a black man. I'm like, this is the same guy who molested countless children. Countless children. I mean, the youngest people that he was just with more recently was in the last few years. Those girls are now like 22 years old. But he got them when they were 16, 15.
It was crazy was that even if you don't believe like the testimonies, they had pictures of dude. Like he was around high schools and stuff.
Yeah. Going and hanging around McDonald's and waiting for the kids to get out. And they would go to the like.
What multimillionaire does that? Like for real? Like outside of someone who's you know, a pedophile. Like who, what, outside of like, let's say like Michael Jordan comes to the school and like he visits and like the basketball team or something like that. That makes sense. But none of them were waiting outside of school for people to get out of school to go hang out.
Yeah.
Like how old are you? You know what I'm saying? Like it just looked bad. And then all of them had pictures. All of them had proof that he was around them, that he was with them in some fashion. To the point of where it's like, even if you don't believe he did every single thing that they said on the documentary or whatever, it's still damaging to the point where you have to go, you know what, hold up for a second.
Yeah.
Like, what is going on here? And then people from his own entourage are explaining like, yeah, that, you know, that happened, or yeah, this happened, or we saw this, or, you know what I mean? Like, it's bad. It looks bad. And the only reason you are, you know, quote unquote on his side is because one, he's a black person, or two, because you liked his music. And those are extremely lame excuses. Like, you should be embarrassed.
Yeah. Really, really embarrassing. I can't even, I really don't like hearing it when people are saying like they're still supporting these guys, and they're like, and especially, you know, like the people who are like, oh well, I'm not part of the team to put R. Kelly in jail because, you know, Kevin Spacey's not in jail. Bitch, I don't care.
Put him in jail
too. They're both bad. If we can get one more of them off the street, then yay.
Right.
R. Kelly actively has kidnapped women with him. He still has them in his possession. He needs to go to jail. He needs help. He needs mental help, and he also needs to pay for his crime. Yeah. And I'm not saying Kevin Spacey's any better. Kevin Spacey was molesting boys for years, okay? Young actors, he was intimidating them and making them do things that they were too young to want to do. And making them, and using his power, making them feel like they weren't going to get roles if they didn't do whatever they did with him, like Harvey Weinstein and stuff. But I'm like, dude, I don't know if, as far as I know, Kevin Spacey doesn't have kidnapped people in his home? I don't know. He could, but I don't know anything about it. So if we're going to sit here and talk about, oh, I'm not going to want R. Kelly to be in jail because Kevin Spacey's still free. Dude, I don't know why people are like this.
I mean, like, here's the thing. Like, there is a discrepancy in the sense of the amount of time. We typically get the harsher punishments.
Yeah.
But that's a separate, that's an aside. That's a different thing. We're talking about someone, preventing someone from hurting someone again. So
exactly.
What that goes is like Harvey Weinstein, R. Kelly, Bill Cosby, Tory Lanez, all of them need to be put away. And, you know, if they're doing the things that they, that people are claiming that they're doing, they all need to go away. Now, in terms of sentencing, if that's where you're hung up on, once they get found guilty, then we could talk about whether or not Harvey Weinstein and R. Kelly are going to get the same amount of years. And for me, honestly, it would have to come down to the amount of times where R. Kelly has done a tremendous amount of harm in our community. And so I don't expect him to get a little bit of time. I'm not going to go there and nitpick how many years he gets versus Harvey Weinstein. I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
Put them both
care.
Away. Now, if Harvey Weinstein gets like 3 days, I'm going to feel away. But it's less it has less to do with R. Kelly and more to do with the fact that he isn't being punished correctly.
Exactly.
That's it. Like this whataboutism stuff. Well, that's not even high school. That's like elementary school. You know.
Yeah.
You know. You stole a cookie, and so you're like, well, such and such stole a cookie too. Like, no, that doesn't absolve you of stealing. That just means, I mean, that makes you a tattletale, but it doesn't absolve you of it. It just means you both are guilty.
Yep.
Like, they're using these things as a crutch.
Yeah.
Like, every time I saw, you know, well, such and such did this, and, you know, excuse me, this person did this, and, you know, he was able to do this, and I don't care. Don't care.
I don't.
Put them both away. Once we get to the guilty verdict, then we can complain. Then we can say, hey, you only gave him a year. He should get 5 like R. Kelly did, or 20 like R. Kelly. Then we can do it. But at the very least, they're both going to jail.
Please, let's just agree on that. Like,
right.
Can we not have child molesters and rapists? And like, seriously. Can we not? Can somebody put Ghislaine Maxwell in jail for helping Jeffrey Epstein all those years molest all those girls?
Well, I think they're worried about her health right now.
Well, yeah, they're worried about that somebody is going to hang her in jail so that she doesn't rat
like spill
on
the beans.
The
yeah, that's so sad, and we kind of went, you know. Went a little off there, but it's the main goal was talking about women and particularly Black women and how they are treated, how they are looked, you know, past or you know, stepped over in terms of like getting their just due, getting their correct pay, the right positioning, whatever the case may be, all the way to how they're treated in terms of when they need medical care in the hospitals to how men can hurt them and no one believes. I know, like with Meg Thee Stallion, it was a big joke. Like people were laughing about it. And she was like, that was very, it's indicative of how people treat Black women. Cause it's a joke. They get hurt. It's a joke. And then the fact that people were caping for, Tory Lanez and how people are quick to push a narrative that, the people who speak up about these things are hurting Black men.
Yeah.
Which is goofy because you're basically just keeping you're allowing them to be free and you're allowing them to continue to hurt people.
Yeah. And nobody should want that. Nobody should ever want, you know, Black or white or whatever. Honestly, nobody should want anybody who is an active threat to the health and well-being of your children and women. Like, It's not okay. It's not. It needs to be addressed immediately, and it has nothing to do with protecting this individual because of the color of their skin. It has everything to do with protecting everybody in the situation. Like, if people cared more about Black women, like I said, you got to make sure that Black men are supportive. You have to support Black women first. if people cared more about Black women, especially young Black girls from the hood, then R. Kelly wouldn't even be where he is. That's one less child molester that would have been off the street if people cared about Black women and Black girls who were poor and nobody cared about them because the police department had all the information that they needed to put R. Kelly away and they never acted on it. They instead, they helped him because he gave them money and tickets and stupid shit. And this is not okay. And this is what we're talking about in our society. If you protect women, if you care enough, you care about women and lift women up, you'll have a better society. You just will. you just will.
But yeah, because there's a lot that goes along with that. There's a lot that goes along with being able to keep those who are more vulnerable safe. I mean, you look at, like, even from, and, you know, we can go after this, but, like, looking at a marriage, people will be quick to be like, you know, well, I put my kids first. And I'll be like, no, I put my wife first. Because me putting her first, her being healthy, her being in the right frame of mind, her being whatever, that helps my kids. Like, that is the, and, you know, for various reasons outside of that, but I'm just saying, like, there's good that comes of that. And we got to stop being trash. Like, there's just, like, it's not a good look. It's not a good look out here.
It's not a good look.
So, yeah, that's been our TED Talk. Thanks for listening.
Yes.
Don't go listen to Toy Lanez's album. It's certified trash. I've never heard it, and it's still trash. Support Black women. Support Black creators. And be okay with being honest. Be okay with being honest. That sounds good. Yeah, let's do that. Be okay with being honest.
And don't be mediocre. Like,
yes.
One of the worst things to ever be in this life is mediocre. I mean, I know a lot of people are simple and they kind of just want to coast. And, you know, some people may not want to be great for whatever reasons. They don't want to stick out. I don't know. You know, I want to be great. I also want to be great so that I can be mediocre sometimes, you know, because if you're great all the time, sometimes you've earned the right to, like, be mediocre. I've earned the right to not eat salad 7 days in a row. Maybe I can just eat bread one day. And like, okay, you know, be great the majority of the time so that it's okay if you're mediocre for 2 days. But don't strive to be mediocre at best. Like, seriously, your mediocrity is like the downfall of society. So don't be mediocre. Be better. In fact, the words of Melania Trump have never been more important. And now that she has corona, I think people should really, really, really take heed to her whatever first lady message. Everybody, I'm gonna leave you tonight instead of with bye-bye and wash your butts and your hands. I'm gonna leave you with this mantra from Melania Trump herself. Be best. That's our show, y'all. Be best.